Nicole Sandler back with you on Air America Radio for this Tuesday night, and I'm thrilled about our next guest. On the phone with me is Stan Brock. He is the founder of an organization known as RAM, which stands for Remote Area Medical. But Stan, now you're not a doctor, right?
No. I'm just the person who sort of came up with this idea many years ago under rather strange circumstances. And I've now done 575 of these special operations.
Wow. Now, I came to learn of you through two different TV shows that I saw. One was a profile on what you do on 60 Minutes that I believe was last year sometime. And most recently, RAM was mentioned by a man named Wendell Potter, who was an executive with Cigna Health Insurance Company, who basically came over to the good side, I would say, after seeing one of your health fairs in Virginia last year. And he talked about it with Bill Moyers a couple of weeks ago. And I guess that was the turning point for him in the realization that the work he was doing for the insurance company was not really helping people get well. So I guess I want to back up with you and find out. Now, you were the co-host and associate producer of NBC's Wild Kingdom on television back when I was much younger, weren't you?
Well, yes, that was sort of the frivolous era, you know, going around the world, capturing and releasing wild animals. And that was me. Don't do that anymore.
Uh-huh. And how did you make the transition from that world to this? How did you come up with the idea of RAM, of Remote Area Medical Volunteer Corps?
Well, actually, you really could remove the Wild Kingdom part of it from the equation, because although I'm certainly proud of the success of that program and the fact that people could still come up to me today and say things like, you know, I grew up watching you on Wild Kingdom, and that's why I decided to become a marine biologist or a veterinarian. So, you know, all of that, of course, is very nice to hear. But before that, when I was just a youngster, I was living with a tribe of Native Americans in the upper Amazon region, the northern border of Brazil and the southern border of what was then British Guiana. And it was a very wild and remote area, but it was populated by vast numbers, like, you know, 30, 40, 50,000 head of wild longhorn cattle and wild horses. And that would have been left over from the Spanish conquistador era. So, in other words, it was a sort of wild and woolly cattle ranch, so to speak. And we had to capture these animals. I was a young cowboy there, and all the cowboys were Indians, except me. And I had a very bad accident when I was just a youngster with a wild horse and got sort of smashed up. And one of the Wapishanas said in the native language, well, the nearest doctor's 26 days on foot from here.
Oh, wow.
So it was about that time that I decided it might be a good idea to bring those doctors a little bit closer. And anyway, I wasn't successful at that at the time. But then many years later, after living in that area where there was no health care, I was brought up here to the United States to do the Wild Kingdom series. But I'd always wanted to take doctors to that particular part of the world to provide medical care for the Wapishanas. And so after the Wild Kingdom and several really bad movies that I made, I founded Remote Area Medical, otherwise known as RAM. And now we have a year-round program down there in that part of the upper Amazon, where things have much improved. But tangentially to that, we started getting requests for help here in the United States and other countries. And so we started doing it here in America. And now it's 64% of everything we do is right here on the home front, because the need is so great.
Well, that's really what I wanted to speak with you about. Stan Brock is with us. He is the founder and president of RAM. And so you formed this organization to help bring doctors and much needed medical care to remote areas of the world. I mean, thus the name Remote Area Medical. And yet here you are providing most of your services now inside the United States, which, you know, supposedly, according to at least many so-called experts in Congress, has the best medical care in the world. But that's not really what we're seeing. We may have the best medical care in the world, but millions and millions of Americans don't have access to it.
Well, 3 weeks ago, I had the privilege to have breakfast with the sixth man to walk on the moon.
Wow.
Ed Mitchell, astronaut Ed Mitchell. And astronaut Mitchell asked me, he said, why did you start this organization, Remote Area Medical? And I told him the story about the wild horse and getting smashed up, and that we were 26 days on foot from the nearest doctor. He said, goodness, he said, I was on the moon, and I was only 3 days from the nearest doctor.
Wow.
And I said, well, Ed, you know, for the hundreds of thousands of people that we treat here in America, they might as well be on the moon because they don't have access to the health care that they need. They simply can't afford it. And there it lies the crux of the matter. Health care in the United States, sadly to say, which is rated number 37, by the way, by the World Health Organization, a list
yes,
of 190 countries, we're down there at number 37.
Mm-hmm.
France is number one. Italy is number two. It is the health care in this country is the province of the wealthy or the very well insured. And all the rest of the people, including people like myself, have got to sort of do the best they can. And now, only something like 6% of the patients that we see are children, because children in the United States do have access to good care up until the age of 18. But after they reach adulthood, then they're in there with the rest of us. And unless their parents are well-to-do and very well insured, they find that they can't afford medical services, particularly things like dentistry and vision care and eyeglasses. And so when these thousands of people come to one of the RAM clinics, they're all clamoring to get their teeth fixed and clamoring to get their eyes examined and get a pair of eyeglasses. Even though we provide all the other medical services for them as well, those are the two things that they can't get by going down the road to the emergency room with a broken arm or the flu and getting it treated. They can't get the dentistry and the vision care there. And so there's this enormous gap in their health care program. And, of course, this starts to lead to very serious problems for them as they get older.
Stan Brock is with us from RAM. Now, so you provide medical, vision, and dental care, and as the website says, for uninsured, underinsured, unemployed, underemployed persons. And that there's a whole lot of people in those four categories and any combinations thereof. So you do these, now you're saying over 65% of your health care expeditions, your health fairs, are here in the U.S. I know just, I believe it was last week, you returned to the same site in Virginia that Wendell Potter spoke to Bill Moyers about. From 1 year to the next, what type of increase in the number of people did you see, or decrease? What was the difference from 1 year to the next?
Well, that's a very good question, Nicole. The fact of the matter is that really this situation has prevailed here in the United States for so many years that there actually is not a significant increase in many cases from 1 year to the next. It's just that public awareness of this problem has sort of come to the forefront. So last year we gave out 1,500 numbers on the first day at Wise, Virginia, for Friday morning, and this year we gave out 1,600 numbers. We weren't able to see all 1,600, so we had to carry over a bunch of people to finish the next day. These were people now that had been there for over 24 hours that we couldn't finish the first day, and the second day there's another 1,600 there.
Wow.
So when you look at the figures, they're very, very similar to the ones of the year before. For example, I'm looking now at some of the figures. We're still adding things up, but so far we've counted 4,304 bad teeth that were pulled out.
Oh, man.
And 1,029 eyeglasses that we made new, free of charge, on the spot. But we also did 260 mammograms, and we did 2,653 general medical treatments. So, and we filled and saved 1,668 teeth. But there's a great disparity then between the huge number that we had to pull out because they couldn't be saved and the ones that we could save with the fillings.
I hear, yes.
Now there were only 3.2% children, you see, which goes mm-hmm. back to the fact that children through SCHIP and various state and federal programs can get the help they need. But all this amounts to $1.6 million in value of free care, and that number is rising. It'll probably be closer to $2 million by the time we add up all the figures.
Sure. Now, who pays for all this?
Well, Remote Area Medical pays for it through donations from the kindness of the American public. We do not ask for and do not accept, if it was offered, any money from the government. This is entirely a grassroots private public operation. But you see, we're all volunteers in the first place. Volunteers don't get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So we get all of these wonderful volunteers, who, by the way, numbered 1,746 this last weekend.
Wow.
And so that 1,746 volunteers trekked from wherever to Wise County, Virginia, to provide this care at their own expense, drove their own cars, bought their own airline tickets, whatever, paid for their own motel bill, and bought some meals we provided while they were working during the day. And so that's, of course, there's a cost, but it's at no cost to the patient. The cost to the patient, of course, is this incredible aggravation of waiting all night. Some of these people had been there 36 hours by
yes,
the time they opened the gate.
I read an account on the air last night. It was a blog written by Digby in Los Angeles. The first woman in line on Friday morning had actually been there since Tuesday. And she went to Virginia, I believe, from Tennessee to participate. And she had severe dental problems. Somebody had knocked her teeth out. She couldn't afford the $6,000 to take care of the dental problems. And the piece said literally 100 emergency room visits later, she still couldn't deal with the pain. And thus, she sought out the Ram Health Fair in Virginia last weekend. Now, I see August 11th through the 18th, you will be in Los Angeles. So much for Remote Area Medical. This is more like we coming to the big cities of the United States to help the people who don't have health insurance. You're going to be at the Forum in Inglewood, right there in the heart of L.A.
Yes, and although we haven't been in California with our medical team before, we've been there with our veterinary teams, the public do not have the knowledge of what Remote Area Medical does as they do in many of the other parts of the United States. But I still think that they'll get the message that this is real treatment, it's not a health fair, that we're really going to fix teeth and fix eyes and do all these medical procedures totally free of charge on a first-come basis. Now, you know, this is what I'm going to say now is very germane to this problem. The greatest impediment to what Remote Area Medical does in the United States is that for some extraordinary reason that I've never been able to understand, a doctor, a dentist, a nurse, a veterinarian, a licensed professional who's taken the same exams and the same curriculum in one state is not allowed to cross state lines and provide free care to patients who need the help in another state, with the solitary exception of Tennessee, where we passed a law in 1995 that allows us to bring in all of these willing and well-qualified practitioners from anywhere in the country. And they just show up, give us a copy of their license, roll up their sleeves, and get to work. Now, in California, doesn't allow that.
Mm.
But this is the first time that we've been in California And I must say that we've got a very good response at the moment from the dental community and from the medical community, but we have a very poor response at the moment from the optometry people in California. We're hoping that that will change as they get the message to them. But if we were allowed to bring in practitioners from anywhere else in the country, then I wouldn't have these worries about whether or not we're going to have enough people to treat the huge number of patients when we get there.
Right. So you're recruiting, and I'm looking at your website right now, which, by the way, is at ramusa.org. And you need medical doctors, all specialties, and nurses, ophthalmologists, optometrists, opticians, ophthalmic techs, general dentists, oral surgery, pediatric dentistry, registered dental hygienists, and dental assistants. So you're looking for volunteers to help out for this week-long RAM health fair, for lack of a better term, in Los Angeles, August 11th through the 18th.
That's correct. And they all have to have a California license. It's very difficult to understand why doctors and dentists, et cetera, are not allowed to cross state lines. This would be at no cost to the U.S. government, no cost to the taxpayer. But there seem to be these issues in all of these states that perhaps they're thinking we're taking business away from the local practitioners, which, of course, is absolutely not true, because the people that we're treating at these events, not only do they have to wait a long time, which alone is sort of self-regulating, but they simply cannot afford the cost of going to a dentist or an eye doctor. So they're not going to be going to their offices and causing an economic hardship for the local practitioners. So if the government was to allow doctors to cross state lines in the United States unimpeded to provide free care and protected them against frivolous lawsuits, another issue that makes it difficult to get volunteers, then it would make a quantum leap towards not solving, but really helping the healthcare crisis in this country.
How far out, Stan Brock, do you book these events? How far out are you set up to do these?
Well, we only go to places where we're invited, and so we're pretty well booked up this year. But we can always seem to squeeze in one more. You know, for example, right after the event in Los Angeles, we're going over to the Native American reservation at Fort Duchesne in Utah. And we're also looking for dentists and eye doctors for that operation at the end of August in Utah. Well, there we're dealing with the Indian Health Service, a branch of the federal government, and there is some paperwork involved in getting our volunteers credentialed, but, you know, we'll overcome that.
So
but
when you say
the volunteers to go there.
Right. Now, when you say you're invited, so in the case of the Los Angeles one, did the city of Los Angeles ask you to come? How did that come about?
It came about from private invitations from people who say, gosh, we need your services over here in Los Angeles. So that started us thinking about it. What I must say is that the city and the Los Angeles County are thoroughly behind this project, and they've been most helpful. And so that there are now a lot of agencies involved, and church folks involved, and dental societies and medical societies involved, and the city of Inglewood and the county of Los Angeles, very supportive. As I say, I just worry because we don't have the support at this stage of the optometrists, but I'm hoping that it'll be forthcoming.
I'm sure once the news organizations out in L.A. show the lines of the people out there the first day, you're going to be inundated with people wanting to help. I would hope that's the case. Stan Brock, I'm so impressed with what you're doing. I think it's a travesty that you have to do this sort of work here in the United States. And I hope that our elected officials do what we elected them to do and come up with true health care reform so that your work is unnecessary here in the U.S. And then you can go to the remote areas that you started this venture to help out. I wish your services weren't needed here. Unfortunately, they are, but thankfully, you're here to help people in need.
Yes, and it is very, very sad. We'll keep doing as long as we have to. And then we'll be back to places like Haiti, where the desperation there is just incredible, and other parts of the world where we were designed to go in the first place.
Absolutely. The website is ramusa.org. I will link to it from my blog at radioornot.com and my page at airamerica.com. You do take donations from private citizens and organizations, and boy, if ever there was a worthy cause, RAM is definitely it. Stan Brock, thank you for joining us tonight, and thank you for the work you're doing.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.